As our children go to children's church, if you would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Thank you, choir, and thank you, April, for the beautiful music. And Judy, thank you for the beautiful offertory. Genesis chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. The song goes, and I really meant to start it before the children went down, because some of them would be able to start singing it. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And then it continues on. I hear it every Sunday morning because it is played in the Sunday school class right across from my office where Mary and April teach. But it is a very good song to remind us of our common heritage as children of God. And today, to remind us of a faith-filled father. In fact, Abraham is seen as the father of multitudes, Jews, Christians, and Muslims. All trace their heritage to Abraham. Children that do not always get along, as we know, who do not always have the same or even good memories of their father. Their father Abraham, and perhaps even other fathers. Think for a moment. If you were Isaac, you may not have always had the greatest thoughts of your father Abraham, especially when he tied you up, threw you on top of an altar, pulled out a knife, and started swinging it in your direction until God stopped that sacrifice in mid-stroke. If you were Muslim, you would look at the same story, except it would be Ishmael in the Quran. But still, Abraham was their father. And Abraham was a father that followed God's leading. Even when sometimes he wasn't sure where that leading was going to take him, or what he would be required to do. just as Isaac and Ishmael may not have always had good memories of Abraham. Though they did have some good memories, even today that is the case for many. There are some who have good memories, but that's not true of all. For some, Father's Day is a day of sadness for a father who is no longer present. For others, it is a day of wonder, sometimes even anger toward a father. But you know, that is part of the human story. It is part of our story. A story that is filled with good fathers, not so good fathers, and other men who, while they do not biologically have children themselves, have served as and continue to serve as fathers for so many who are in need of that image and of that touch. When we encounter Abram in Genesis chapter 12, he is being called by God to leave the home of his father, a home where he has been for many, many years. In fact, he has been there for decades. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, we are not told very much about Abram's background. We are told that Abram was born in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is over between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Modern day Iraq, ancient Babylonia. And that at some point he and his wife Sarai and his father Terah and his nephew Lot and all the servants and animals and everyone else that were with them suddenly pick up, leave Ur of the Chaldeans, and they settle north of the land of Canaan, in a place which is called Haran, which very likely in the biblical text is named such because that was the name of Lot's father who died prior to their leaving. And then Abram is there until we encounter in chapter 12 his call at age 75. We don't really know a whole lot about the early life of Abram, though there are some documents not in the canon that try to give us an idea. An idea of Abram and his upbringing and his father, Terah, in the land of Ur of the Chaldeans. A father who, according to those documents, worshipped a moon god because as of yet they were not aware of Yahweh. A moon god who sometimes demanded human sacrifice, and when the special time came, all the fathers gathered together and cast lots, and if the lot fell on you, it was your responsibility and honor to go home and tell your eldest son he was privileged to be the next sacrifice. We don't know if that story is true or not about Abram, but we do know that he grew up in that kind of a world. And according to that book, which is not in the Bible, that story, one day Terah came home, and I'm sure Abraham did not have too good of memories or thoughts of his dad that day when he said, "The lots were cast today, and guess what? You get to die." And Abram figured out another way out of it, according to that story. The night before the festival, he set fire to the temple, and as all the people were running and putting out the fire, he and his entire family beat a hasty retreat out of Ur and didn't stop running until they got way, way away to the place called Haran. As I said, I don't know that that story is true at all. But it does give us some insight into the kind of world in which Abraham grew up and perhaps influenced how Abraham himself served as a father not only for his sons, but for Jews and Christians and Muslims since. Now, when God calls Abram in chapter 12 at age 75, Abram has a lot of land. Abram has a lot of servants. Abram has a lot of money. Abram has no children. And so when we read this story that he picks up and in faith he leaves to follow the leading of this new God who has called him, the only God of the universe, he leaves because he's promised descendants, not because he needs more land, but because he's promised to be a father. And he is a father. Even at this point, he is a father to his servants. If he were to die, the servant that had been with him the longest would have inherited all of his property as a son. He had treated them very much like his own, giving them counsel, giving them protection, and giving them great care. In fact, Abraham was loved tremendously by his servants because he was a father to them. And as we look to remember our fathers and to honor this day, I want us to look at the example and challenge of a faith-filled father that faces all of us. But especially today, we who are male. Oftentimes we have talked about faith, and I have described to you my understanding from the Bible of what true faith is. It is not merely to believe. But throughout the Bible, we find that true faith is a combination of belief and appropriate action based on that belief. Faith is not passive. Faith is an active verb. Throughout the biblical text, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, Abraham has faith. Now, he could have listened to God, and he says, well, you know, that's great. One of these days I'll get around to moving, maybe, once we sell the place. Once we've got enough wealth accumulated here and have everything diversified in the right stocks, you know, the right number of sheep and goats. And thank you. Someone went, ha-ha. But he didn't. Now, we don't know what all was in Abraham's mind when Yahweh calls him. A different God from one that he had seen being raised all around him in other lands. And I'm sure that when God calls him, he is probably filled with questions, as was Sarah. But Abraham steps out in faith. That is, he shows his belief that Yahweh is different and powerful, and he steps out showing his faith and moves to a place where he is unsure. Do I really move out into this new place and have to set up housekeeping again in a new city, in a new land, where we don't know the neighbors? How are we going to make friends? We're going to be so much different from them. How will we make friends? Bet nobody comes over and brings an apple pie to our door. Or Sarah, what are you going to do? You know, you got the bridge club here, and you got the cooking class there, and by the way, you're doing really well with breakfast and, you know, all those kinds of things. What are we going to do? As well as other questions that were raised in his mind. Sometimes we, as fathers, and as father figures for other folks, are not sure about places or situations or circumstances. Sometimes we're not sure if it's God calling us to do something or something within our own minds and hearts. Because it's difficult to step out. It's sometimes scary to move forward without being able to see what's around the bend. And yet, like Abraham, sometimes we are called to exhibit belief that God will indeed look to us and look out for us and look with us as we move forward in life with care, with protection, sometimes with good counsel, and sometimes hoping and praying that the counsel we give, that the time we spend, is really what's needed. But stepping out in that kind of belief and faith brings with it the possibilities for new growth and greater life that will not exist if we don't step out in faith. Abraham didn't always make the best decisions either, as father for his servants and later for his sons. Sarah and Pharaoh, story that appears in chapter 12 shortly after this, where he, to protect himself, pawns Sarah off to Pharaoh as his sister, and he goes out and his stock rises. He gets more animals and more money until God reminds him that he's been called to be faithful and to trust God. Hagar, Sarah's maidservant, by whom he has a son, Ishmael, who is the father of Arabic peoples, sending Ishmael and Hagar away into the wilderness after Isaac is born. Sometimes Abraham didn't seem to make the best decisions in life. And yet, he ultimately maintained an ongoing relationship with God and was spoken of by both Paul and James in the New Testament as not only being God's friend, but as having true faith. James even says that his faith was completed by his actions. Abraham's story is a story that is far too common, but one that we can find, even in our own lives, brings a sense of hope that though we may not always make the best decision, we may not always give the best counsel, we may not always be sure that the decision we're making is absolutely correct until after the fact, that ongoing relationship that we can have with God, that vibrant, living, acting faith that shows thoughtful as well as sometimes thought-provoking decisions in the ways we care for others who look to us for guidance, whether a biological father or a surrogate. Those decisions that we make can help to bring life renewed, refreshed to one who is desperate. We still have flaws, and sometimes we make less than the best decisions. But unless there is within us that which is above us, we will yield to those things that are around us, as Peter Forsyth wrote. In other words, unless we, like Abraham, look to God and take within us that serious kind of faith and relationship that we see in Abram and later even in Isaac. And we know he made some bad decisions. And Joseph and Moses and David and so many others, even in our own lives, who have found God and that relationship with God to sustain them even when they couldn't see around the bend, and who stepped out anyway. Unless we have that within us, then the world around us will not be as good or as productive or as fruitful. For you see, God wants us to become all that we can be. Not just in relationship with God, but within relationships with others. And though we will still sometimes stumble, though we still will have some flaws, with God's help, with a caring heart, and with the understanding that this is a lifelong process, we can make a difference as faith-filled fathers. Those who seek God's counsel, who share God's love, who aren't afraid to say, "I'm wrong," or "I don't know," and who will also look and say, "I'm sorry if I hurt you, but I do love you, and let us go forward together." Faith-filled allows us to be faithful. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do come to You asking that You will help us. Help us to recognize that even those that we look to as fathers like Abraham were human. We're scared. We're sometimes unsure about their decisions, but stepped out in faith and in harmony with You. Help us as we live our lives, as we give counsel, as we laugh, even as we cry, to be faith-filled and faithful. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 348, Living for Jesus. As we sing, our invitation is simple and open for all who are here or any who might see this via tape. If you have not made a profession of faith publicly in Christ as your Lord and Savior, but feel led by God to do so, our altar is open and we welcome you to share that with us and with God. If you're searching for a church home and feel that this is a place from which you would like to minister and worship, our altar is open and we welcome you to come and to join with us. If you feel that God is calling you to recommit yourself, our altar is open. Hymn number 348, Living for Jesus.